We're just going to use this.
It's working now?
Yeah.
We really should start.
Okay, we should start now.
So if you want to grab that.
We're going to get started now. Welcome to the third day of the Platypus International Convention. Today, the vision for the convention kind of was to attempt to do a move towards from an open public event to a more kind of internal discussion that would allow us to reflect on the history of Platypus and our development from its emergence. So today is intended to be a day in which we are more open about what this project is, what is, has been, and where we want it to go. With that in mind, this is kind of the idea because of the success of the synthesis talk that we had last year. And so in a conversation, in a convention conference call, we were talking about what to do on Sunday. And it was really Ashley and Richard who talked about how the experience of what Platypus is different depending of what moment you became part of the group or. And, you know, we realized the sort of, the idea sort of generation of perhaps Richard, Chris, and Spencer versus the first generation to been moved by these ideas and attempts to make an organization grow out of that. And then to a third generation of people who walk in once we have already established ourselves. And there's a sense in which the first generation experiences a single event completely different than the second and the third. So with that in mind, we will begin with Ashley, then Pam, and close with Richard. We will have Q&A open discussion afterwards, in which after that, Chris will do his talk on the 1970s, Legacy of Platypus. So without further ado, Ashley?
Okay. So like Lori said, as a panel, Richard, Pam, and I represent what has unconsciously been acknowledged as three distinctive phases in the evolution of Platypus. In order to understand, critique, and develop the purpose, aim, and direction of our organization, it behooves us to formally come to terms with how these waves, embedded in the personal relationships and practical infrastructures of the group, present both possibilities and obstacles for expanding the scope of what is possible for Platypus. My participation in this panel indicates that I represent the most recent wave of members who entered into the group after it was fully founded. This representation, I think, is fair only to the extent that I serve, perhaps, as the most potent symptom to the benefits and challenges facing non-founding members. My wave is characterized by the broadest range of geographical dispersal from California to Canada, a vast variety of initial political experiences, and divergent levels of responsibility within the group. I do not then seek to speak for my generation, as it is an erroneous qualification. Rather, upon reflecting on my own experiences, both nurturing and toxic within Platypus, I hope to merely begin a conversation as to the issues I have yet to resolve about the group that will hopefully be clarifying for us all. Talking about Platypus first requires me to air some dirty laundry, that is, the left I was part of before ending up here. If there is a precise moment I began identifying myself as a member rather than an observer of the left, it was in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. This appears to me to be representative of the politicization of many people my age, with my first protest directed against the occupation of Iraq. I remember walking and chanting alongside the other one political friend I had in Chicago at the time, pelted with leaflets from a confusing muddle of groups promising revolution in our time. And as someone who has lost any faith I ever had in the system, after taking in those first televised moments of glittering bombs across the Middle Eastern skyline, I attempted to wade through the multitude of possibilities presented to me. And with the hundreds of thousands swelling in the city streets during May Day 06, it did indeed appear as if there was a fire left for me to take part in. College then appeared as the opportunity for me to find my niche amongst the left. As a freshman and sophomore, I considered myself a non-ideological, anti-violent leftist. I continued the activist and organizing work I had begun as an adolescent, including human rights activism, prison abolitionist work, work against sexual violence, and labor solidarity. But I became increasingly tired of being an autonomous leftist, taking more serious the concept of political organization. I began working closer in coalition group work, and this is where it gets really ugly, participating in things like the 2008 RNC, and found myself more and more immersed within anarchist communities and flirting with syndicalist organizations like the IWW. Simultaneously but unconsciously, my schoolwork also began to play a role in my political development. literary criticism in my English classes began to introduce me to postmodernist and post-structuralist critiques of capitalism, and I started to internalize these models without having a proper sense of political reflection. All of these things that I've kind of vaguely addressed initially made me hostile to a group like Platypus, whom I saw as a bunch of disaffected, esoteric non-activists. It seemed to me suspicious at best, elitist at worst, for a group's prime focus to be on history and theory rather than on people's day-to-day experiences and struggles. I'd always enjoyed history, but it was not immediately apparent to me how studying history could possibly be conceived of as a political act. And the group's emphasis on a critique of the left seemed to me to be a bit off when the right wing seemed to be gaining more and more steam, both domestically and internationally. So I went to events and participated in the weekly reading group, but I didn't grasp what Platypus was trying to do. However, the first international convention was a galvanizing moment in my life, intellectually and politically. My limited historical memory served to feed a certain level of excitement I had about the possibilities of a group with a critical world-changing stance. As one who had struggled with the particularities of identity politics and the obfuscated emancipation they proposed, I had certainly always felt that as if the scope of my politics reached beyond that of my vegan, collegiate-educated, house-show-attending, bike-punk milieu. As time passed, I began to more critically approach the work I did as an activist and organizer and wondered what it was all amounting to. Was I really building a movement or participating in some sort of pseudo-activity that disguised itself as contributing to something greater when it was in actuality not impacting society? Platypus's emphasis, no, insistence on a critique of the left, particularly considering the historical regression and the left's ability to shape the world, suddenly began to make some sort of sense. That being said, I must admit that my year in Platypus, from last convention to this one, has been profoundly disappointing. Every idea I obtained through my undergraduate career about anarchism, postmodernism, post-structuralism, religion, the Catholic Church, atheism, the labor movement, culture, community, resistance, revolution, reform, my future as a union organizer, intellectualism, protests, queers, veganism, imperialism, the sociological character of the term working class, environmentalism, art, modernity, fascism, authoritarianism, violence, feminism, black studies, Latino studies, indigenous persons, emancipation, Quebecois separatism. Everything I had grown to love as a leftist, Platypus forced me to lose. I felt at once connected to the protagonist of my favorite novel of all time, Victor Frankenstein, as I too was required to exchange, how do you say that word, chimeras?
Chimeras
of boundless grandeur for realities of little worth. There will be protests to the sentiment assuring me that surely nothing called a Platypus line exists. To this critique, I raise a single point. The theory of historical regression throughout the past year has painstakingly, brutally, and often without my consent, forced me to see the inadequacies of these approaches to reanimating the left and its singular goal of human emancipation. Thereby, the theory of historical regression is not merely an intellectual gesture, it is a political act. Platypus presented itself to me, unlike my other two panelists, as a nearly fully conceptualized project, one whose aims failed to be immediately apparent to my consciousness, but nevertheless excited my intrigue. It has taken me the full year to comprehend, even like in the slightest regard, the scope of the death of the left thesis proposed by Platypus, with frequent arguments, disavowals, and moments of defeat, both on my part and that part of my mentors, thank you, Spencer, along the way. And yet, I barely recognize the person I was a year ago. My conceptualization about the world has been radically transformed. I cannot look upon any aspect of the political world without a certain degree of pessimism or nuance. I've been branded and ruined for life for any other option amongst the pseudo-left. While the typical rhetorical gestures of Platypus often now find themselves strangely embedded in my speech, I experience this phenomenon with a level of anxiety and ambivalence, unsure of what it signals and where my political future actually lies. It has been a difficult process for me, still unfinished, to accept myself as much of a representation of Platypus as Pamela as Richard is. For a long time, arguably up until the present moment of 1243 right now, my self-perception of Platypus was that of an intellectual coterie with which I was quaintly familiar, but not an organization in which I felt fully at home. Perhaps this is due to my really shady political past. I most certainly was not a prime candidate to be a Platypus recruit. I intended to justify lifestyle politics and rationalizations of identity as the base of organizing to the point of exhaustion, and succeeded often. In this sense, I truly represent a rare breed amongst us Platypi. I'm a convert. So when I witness the desire to exclude ourselves from the wretchedness of the existing left, I find the organization capitulating to a certain hopelessness that the political landscape we inhabit is indeed so sullied that we cannot expect transformation even at the individual level. This is a symptom I have seen oft repeated in platypus, and I'm hardly immune from its practice. Rather than deal with a bad left with the sort of patience my organizer gave to me, thank you, Ian, who's not in this room, I would often react with pithy, insulting rejections of people when I would encounter them. The chief problem with platypus to me, though, however, is not our sometimes sour disposition, but rather, as an interested recruit, a member, and a dysfunctional and ineffective organizer, there's always been this particular type of inaccessibility that I've been trying to put my finger on. I mean this not merely in the sense that I'm surrounded by some of the most well-read, intensely intellectually voracious revolutionary badasses one might find amidst the putrid sea of anti-intellectualism, opportunism, and downright mediocrity that currently constitutes what we conceive of as the radical left. Of course, this is partially the case, and it is something with which we must consistently struggle to take into consideration the gradual growth achieved by many of our members, an emancipation from a political immaturity to the capacity to consider and reconsider the history questions and difficulties posed by the emancipatory left as conceived of by platypus, from the radical bourgeois philosophers to Marx, to Nietzsche, to the Second International Radicals, to Freud, to the Frankfurt School. At first glance, I thought in a year's time I would sufficiently understand the basics of this posture towards the left. A year later, I know I have only begun to scratch the surface of the possibilities of politics, both in their liberating and regressive qualities. I'm far humbler in my own ideas, beliefs, and politics because of the supposedly elitist, self-affirming approach of platypus. Too often, this is understood as a form of reactionary nihilism, I think, amongst people outside of the group, rather than a pessimism of the intellect and optimism of the will, as Gramsci might understand it. Nevertheless, when I think of inaccessibility, I think not merely of the fact that I'm still uncertain as to what exactly Adorno supposes in his estimations of the apparent classlessness of contemporary capitalist society, but rather a more fundamental uncertainty. What does platypus seek to do, and what does it offer in the way of hope to those strong enough to take up its project? This is one of the key reasons I have put platypus on the back burner, or possibly altogether neglected to organize for platypus for a year now, instead retreating to my comfort zone of activism. But I think I need to continue to struggle, most certainly with the aids of others in the organization, as to how to offer to eager, driven young left intellectuals something to believe in. I think there is a general belief that there is something greater than what the left is today, but few people know how to make sense of it. I think that as an organization, we are here to ask questions. We are here to shake the left out of its complacency of playing make-believe that it is revolutionizing, but this position is certainly not popular. This is because, as Adorno and Horkheimer suggest, reflection, which in a healthy person breaks down the power of immediacy, is never so compelling as the illusion it dispels. It seems to me that if we are asking intellectuals embedded in other projects to commit themselves to the objective of our organization, we must clarify our positions towards organizing around immediacy. Maybe illusions are indeed more pleasurable, and I would be victim to that, but we ought to try damn hard to make reflection give it a run for its money. This is connected to larger organizational questions I have had trouble with throughout the year. Our organizational structure and functions are overly complicated and often lack the sort of discipline necessary to ensure that all of the energy expended is done for a reason. A transparency about the inner workings of the group, from a pedagogical purpose to political interactions, needs to, I think, be further transparent. Basic questions still hang over my head. What are we organizing for? Whom are we trying to organize? How do we admit to our positions? How do we remain eternally critical? How do we best present our case to others? These are critiques I have of the organization for which I have few answers. Indeed, it is only now that I'm beginning to make sense of the sort of organizational capacity I believe I can fulfill for the group. Thus far, our bad reputation has impaired me, as did our failure to appeal to many beyond those burned badly by the interaction with the still existing left. Still, something in my gut told me to take that leap of faith to membership, to try on a new leftist persona in contrast to the practical organizing with which I was engaged, to try to be an intellectual. That being said, I was very against qualifying myself as a Marxist for a very long time, mostly because Marxism has a miserable, miserable, miserable history of authoritarianism, blind sectarianism, and at the present moment, seemingly of no significance. But platypus has prompted a question in me: why am I interested in the left? Most essentially, I think it's because I'm utopian in my politics. I think that human society is capable of something beyond what capitalism limits it to be. The only tradition I have found that was seriously positing questions about human emancipation from capitalism was Marxist thought. So I decided to leave behind my own anti-intellectualism and to try to start developing a sense of history, theory, ideology, and political organization. Platypus has appeared to me time and time again as the prime way for me to take a position of responsibility for the reinstitution of the left, clear in its verbiage, its similarities, and its differences, that we currently lack in practical power rather than evading participation. all these things are really, really abstract, and I'm going to conclude very soon. And I'm still obviously reflecting and thinking through a lot of them. But I guess I just want to maybe end on a thank you to the people that have really transformed who I have been over the past year, and pose that I'm excited to go farther. Thank you all. You're all beautiful. Don't mock me, Marco.
Okay. So Platypus started in 2006, the summer of 2006. A lot of us were in Chris's Adorno class here at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, and we wanted to understand the legacy of the Frankfurt School, and more importantly, the legacy of Marxism and the way in which Marxism was understood by somebody like Adorno. And a lot of us were, young, had energy, we were in school, we had summer, it was the summertime, so we got together and would read together. And I think that part of what we always trying to figure out is what are the best conditions, to create a chapter and to create attendance to the reading group and to get people out. And there's a certain way in which the conditions under which we came to the group can't really be replicated. But nonetheless, I kind of want to talk about that. So we were all friends, we were students of Chris's, we were at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, and we were invited to this reading group. So we started to come to the reading group, and we realized we didn't know shit. We really didn't know anything about Marxism. We didn't know about the history of the left. And so we were we should get together and read these texts together and have a discussion about them. So we would get together at my house, Lori's house, and we would have conversations about these texts. We would read them out loud to each other sometimes, and we would talk about what they mean. And it was a regular thing. It was a week.
Mini Platypus,
that's what it was called. And it was on Saturdays. It was before the reading group meeting, so that we would come prepared with questions and points. And it created a real culture, I think, in the group that is difficult to replicate, right? It created a real sort of force and sort of seriousness that just happened all at once. So this was the way in which we started to get involved with ideas on the left. Something that was common amongst all of us was a disenchantment with specifically the anti-war movement at the time and our inability to make sense what the left was about at that point. One of the activities early on in the group was that we went to a protest and we experienced the left. I mean, meaning we grabbed the papers, we read some of them, Marco threw them away, and we would talk about what is out there. And it was really depressing, I think. It made me feel like, do I really want to be part of the left if this is what the left is about? So I think that we went through our own little existential crisis as far as what are we doing, what are we really considering here? Do we really want to be part of this historical trajectory? It seems to be defunct. But it was in fact this kind of recognition of the impoverishment of the politics of our moment that I think fueled a lot of the project. So I kind of want to talk about something that Ashley mentioned, which was the sense of hopelessness and pessimism. That in fact, we, I think, experienced the left, and like I said, it was very depressing, and we were pessimistic about the possibilities and viabilities of this particular left to change the world. And so our project was a way of making sense of that in order to clarify what it would mean to actually change the world. So in fact, it was a very hopeful project that comes with a lot of depressing sort of recognitions about what's possible. And yet, it's where I think that it gets its force. Some of the moments for me in which I became a more sort of a member of the group was the class with Moshe Pistone. Several of us took a class on Capital by Moshe Pistone at the University of Chicago. And as a result of this class, we wanted to engage with Moish in a direct fashion, so Benjamin Blumberg and I conducted an interview in the Platypus Review, I think it was in the third issue, and you know, we really worked a lot on that, and I remember feeling like, okay, so you know, this guy, he's an academic, he's like a serious person, he's engaged with Marxist thinking for a very long time, you know, what do we have to say about Marxism to this guy? And so we read History and Class Consciousness, we like created some questions addressing problems of like alienation, reification, and possibilities of emancipatory politics in the present. And we found out that actually we did have a lot to say to him. That meaning like we had a lot of provocations to make that weren't made to him, and that he in fact sort of was, you know, happily engaging with the questions because he hadn't thought about them in this particular way. And so there was something that became very real to me at that moment about the project, which is that when we are at our best, I think that we're able to formulate questions that really provoke answers and provoke people in a way in which they never thought about their own politics in this way, they'd never thought about their own thought in this way, and that's, you know, that's, those are the very encouraging moments, I think, in events and in articles and, you know, in the editorial process when we're at our best. So then Ben Shepherd decided that we needed a newspaper. And I remember having a conversation at the University of Chicago with Ben Shepherd and Chris Catrone and others were there. And I think that he, you know, was like, well, we need a way in which the group exists somehow, you know, like outside of the conversations that we have in the reading group. And so the Platypus Review was born in 2007, November 2007. Now, before that, I should say we had our first event, which was imperialism. What is it, and why are we, or why should we be against it? And I think that this, the fact that this was posed as a question, I remember there being an argument about the title of the panel and whether it should be a question or like imperialism, we're against it, or something like this, or like why are we against it, as opposed to like why should we be against it? And I think it talks about the nature of the group, meaning that like, I think for the most part, we consider ourselves to take nothing for granted, meaning that like we've inherited this left, it's entirely disenchanting for us, and we don't want to assume that certain things have been figured out, because obviously there's a real need of reconsideration. And so in that spirit, you know, the first panel sort of like opened this problem in this manner, you know, like why is anti-imperialism like an idea on the left? What does imperialism mean? And, you know, what do we make of the present stance on the left of their anti-imperialist politics? And so it, you know, again, it was a way of engaging the left in order to understand the ideas of the left so that we're not just sort of affected by its inability to change the world. It meant engaging in the history of the left and the history of its ideas in order to understand them and not simply to sort of either accept them or reject them. And as always, our panels include people with completely different perspectives, and it was helpful because I think it was very clarifying and educational for us. We were a reading group, and then we decided to become an organization, and I think that that was a transitional, that was like a decision that was made in the group, you know, like, are we just like a group of people who read together and who have interesting conversations, or are we serious about forging some kind of political project? And if we are, well, certainly we're not a party, so like, what are we, and what kind of political work do we engage in? And I think that's still a question for us, meaning like, it's a kind of constitutive problem in the group, what kind of political work do we do? At that time, I remember one member, and Lori thinks that it was Earl at the time.
Who suggested first?
The statement of purpose.
We needed to write a statement of purpose.
Anyway, we needed to write a statement of purpose. That was the demand, and that people really needed to be introduced to the group, like, what does the group do? And so there was the writing up of the statement of purpose. And I wanted to just quote the statement of purpose, kind of remind people of where we were at that moment. Our task is critique and education towards the reconstitution of a Marxian left. Platypus contends that the ruin of Marxist left as it stands today is of a tradition whose defeat was largely self-inflicted. Hence, at present, the Marxist left is historical and in such a grave state of decomposition that it has become exceedingly difficult to draft coherently programmatic socio-political demands. In the face of the catastrophic past and present, the first task for the reconstitution of a Marxian left as an emancipatory force is to recognize the reasons for the historical failure of Marxism and to clarify the necessity of a Marxian left for the present and future. If the left is to change the world, it must first transform itself. So from this, you know, there's kind of emphasis and an imminent critique of the left, meaning like we were not, and our work wasn't about critiquing the right. It was critiquing the left in order to transform the left, as it sort of, you know, says here in the statement of purpose, that we took the tradition of the left seriously and the tradition of Marxism seriously, and we're investigating ways in which, you know, the